When Jesus was on the cross, he made 7 brief, important statements. We've already talked about the first one, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We've already discussed the thief in paradise. Verily I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. And today we're going to talk about his third statement. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. Let's read it together. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciples standing by whom he loved. He said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Have you ever noticed that when you are in pain or you're suffering, it has a way of taking control of every thought? When you're in pain or if you have a back pain especially because you don't realize how much you use your back until it is in pain. And then when you make any turn or you do anything, you're very conscious of it. You're very stiff if you hurt your back. But if you're in pain, that's all you can think about. Every action is dealing with that pain. Every movement is dealing with that pain. And if you're in severe pain, you're not going to go out and mow your grass. You're not going to go out and do your business that you normally do. You're not going to run your errands. You're not going to walk around in Walmart. You're not going to go do things that you normally used to do when you weren't in pain. I want you to know that the cross that Jesus is on is excruciating. It is the epitome of pain. It is pain to the 10th degree, times 10 to the 10th power. It is pain beyond pain. Pain that you and I should have suffered, but praise God, Jesus suffered on our behalf. That being said, I want to draw your attention to 3 very important facts here at the cross. The first important fact is this, that Jesus on the cross, his first 3 statements, while he is suffering, while he is in pain, are not about himself, but are directed to or for others. He doesn't say a word about himself. He doesn't defend himself. He doesn't stand for himself. But they're for others. He says, Father, forgive them. He says to the thief on the cross, Today you be with me in paradise. It's about others. And here he says to his mother, Mother, a woman, behold your son. And to the disciple whom he loved, John, he said, Son, behold your mother. It's not about him. And I want you to understand that the cross is not about Jesus. It is about you. It is about you. That's what the cross is about. Jesus didn't die because he sinned. He died because you sinned and because I sinned. He died that we might have life. And praise God that he did. It was for us that he paid the debt. And he thought about you. I think of this, that on that cross, there's an old song written that while he hung on the cross, I was on his mind. He wasn't just thinking about the men there when he said, Father, forgive them because I am them that needs forgiving. I am the one that stands in need of forgiveness just as you do stand in need of forgiveness this morning. It was for us. That's fact number one. Fact number two is this. That women played a very important role in the ministry of Jesus. Women played a very important role. Now I know that in today's society and in old times there was kind of this idea that women should not be in ministry. But if you take a closer look at Scripture, you will find that is absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. Matter of fact, some of the greatest people in the Bible were women.
who accomplished great things for God. I want you to notice that everybody else has left Jesus at the cross, but there stands three women. Three women. Mary, his mother. Mary, the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I hope you got that. The wife of Cleophas. And then Mary Magdalene. Three Marys are standing there at the cross when Jesus is dying. Not anybody else except one disciple. Everybody else forsook him, but there stands his mother. There stands Mary, the sister. There stands Mary Magdalene right there at the cross, because women have a very important role in the life of Jesus. It was women that financed Jesus' ministry. And Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, you go home, you read that, take the time to read it. But there were certain women who gave to Jesus of their substance to bless the ministry that Jesus was doing. It was a woman that first became a missionary to the Samaritans, to Samaria, when Jesus said, "Woman, if you knew who was talking to you, you would have asked me for water, and you never would have thirsted again." And that woman went and told everybody in Samaria, they said, "Come meet the man who told me everything." It was a woman who sparked a revival about Jesus in Samaria. Amen. It was a woman that anointed Jesus for his death and burial. She broke an alabaster box, surrounded by men, surrounded by all these great men who were following Jesus. No one anointed him, but a woman did. And there stood three women by the cross, and they waited for 6 hours. And they watched for 6 hours as the Messiah, as the son, as the little nephew, was dying on the cross. And they watched. They watched. The third important fact I want you to grab is this, that only one disciple stood at the cross while Jesus died. I want you to know that Jesus had to die alone. He had to suffer the rejection of even his friends and closest loved ones. It had to happen that way. But the women, his mother, and his aunt, and Mary Magdalene stood there at the cross, and only one disciple. Every other disciple forsook him except one. And they stood there amongst the mockery and amongst the ridicule and amongst the beating and amongst the piercing and amongst the death. They watched it all. They watched it all. Only one, though. And I say that for a reason, because I want to ask you this question. Could you have stood close to the cross that day? Could you have stood close to him? Stayed close to him in such circumstances, in such difficulty, in such heartache, in such pain? Could you have stood there beside the dying Savior and still proclaimed him as King and still proclaimed him as Messiah? Because even his closest that were trained by him for 3 years could not. Matter of fact, Peter, there are some people like Peter, when things get difficult, they follow afar off. That's what Peter did. He followed afar off. He was in the distance. He watched as things unfolded. But when they asked him, "Are you with him?" he denied it and said, "No, I'm not." But there was one that didn't. John. While everyone's rejecting Jesus, there stands John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. There stands his mother Mary. There stands his aunt, and there stands Mary Magdalene. Everyone else forsook him, but them. And now I want you to think for a moment about this statement, "Behold your son. Woman, behold your son." I want you to think about the statement and the acceptance of the call that Mary had to choose. Mary accepted the call, and not only the call, but she accepted Jesus. You remember, if you've read the story, and I'm sure you know it, many of you have been in church many years, and if you don't know it, you should read the story. But an angel came to Mary and said, Mary, hail thou Mary, thou highly favored. She's just a young, a spouse woman. She's engaged to be married to Joseph. She's not ever been with a man. She's never known a man. She's a virgin. She has no clue what's going on. She's even struck by the salutation of the angel that appeared to her. And the angel said, you're going to have a child. And she said, how can that be? How can I have a child? I don't know any man. I've never been with a man before. I can't have a child. And the angel said, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you, and the child will be conceived by the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to think for a moment, because Mary accepted that call. She literally said, be it unto me as the Lord wills. I want you to understand the ramification of that acceptance. Because this little Jewish girl was choosing rejection to accept the call of God. Because she knew there were going to be marital problems when the baby bump started. Do you understand what I mean? Joseph was going to go, hello, we are engaged and I'm not the father of that child growing in your stomach. So, and every adult in here knows what it takes. And I could guarantee you in Joseph's mind, things are going on. Okay, this woman has been unfaithful. Now, the Bible said Joseph was a man that feared God, and he didn't want to make a public example of her. So he was going to put her away privately. This acceptance of the call brought marital problems to her relationship. There was a stress in the family of Joseph over this issue. But still she accepted it. Still, she accepted it knowing that if others found out that she had committed fornication, she could be stoned for such an action. She accepted it. And then when Jesus came, she suffered even more. She couldn't even put her baby in a nice crib. She had to put him in a barn, in a stable, and keep him in a stable. And no doubt she felt a little rejected there, felt a little difficult there to be out there with the animals while her baby was being born. And then Herod had a plot to kill Jesus, and they had to move and relocate. I'm telling you, the birth of Jesus was not an easy thing. It wasn't a dance through the tulips, if you will. It wasn't like, oh, look, Mary is highly blessed. Nobody saw that. Everybody sees it now. But at the time Mary was going through this and receiving all the blessings and letting the blessings flow through her, nobody saw it. Nobody. Herod wanted to kill Jesus, and so they had to leave and flee to a foreign country in Egypt, and they had to hide out there for many years until they were able to come back. Can you imagine the heart of Mary when she heard that Herod had killed all the children 2 years old and younger where she was? And all because she accepted the call. This is not an easy thing to deal with. She stood at the cross of her son. She listened to the mockery and the ridicule. And I don't know about you, but if someone mocks my girls, watch out. If somebody mocks my boy, watch out. I get fiery over them babies. I start hovering and I start getting angry and I'm ready to fight, kill, die, whatever's got to happen to make sure those babies are well. Could you imagine what Mary was going through on the cross as they said, he saved others, save him, can he save himself? And they mocked him and they spit on him and they punched him and they ridiculed him. Could you imagine, mothers, could you imagine what that mama is going through? Every mother in here can fathom, in a sense, how difficult that would be. Anyone here who's lost a child can fathom the pain and the agony of losing somebody that you shouldn't lose. And here Mary stands at the cross and watches as this transpires. the prophet Simon prophesied to her when they brought Jesus to the temple to be blessed and to be, have his circumcision done. They brought him to the temple, and the prophet prophesied and said, he said, Mary, this child is set for the rise and fall of his people, and a sword will pierce your own soul. I believe at that moment on the cross, she was experiencing just that. That on the cross, her soul was being devastated. Her heart was being broken because the Son of promise was being killed. I also want you to know that Mary was a believer. You know, there's an old song, Mary, did you know? Yeah, Mary knew. She knew that she had a baby and she never knew a man. She knew that. There's no question that she know. She didn't understand it all. She didn't quite comprehend the complexity of all that was going on, but she did understand it. And she knew that she had a baby and never knew a man. She knew this was a divine appointment, that an angel had appeared to her. She knew all these things. She knew it well, that even when Jesus was 12 years old, Jesus looked at her and said, didn't you know I'm supposed to be about my Father's business? I thought about this. Maybe they had conversations as the family, and said, you know, you're a special child. The angel came to me and told me that I would have you. I never knew a man. And maybe Jesus said, that's because I'm not from you. At 12 years old, he recognized that he did not come from his mother, but he came from the Father. Mary was a believer because at the wedding of Cana, remember when she said to Jesus, we ran out of wine? There's some really famous words that we'd all do well to heed. It's the words of Jesus' mother, Mary, and she said to his disciples, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Don't get more simpler than that, does it? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Mary believed that Jesus was capable of performing miracles, making something out of nothing. That means Mary seen some stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Mary, who knows what she saw, but she saw miracles. She saw things happen. She was a believer in the abilities of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, she is numbered with the 120 that is filled with the Holy Ghost after that, and the Spirit fell on her, and she's there in that mix. Why? She is a believer, not just his mother. I want you to know something, that he calls her woman. He doesn't call her mother. In our society, if I look at you and I say, hey, woman, all your women, your ears went, what? Call me no woman. I deserve some respect. I remember this grandpa. He would always call his wife Heifer. I was appalled when I heard it. Sitting there in the living room, he said, hey, Heifer, come here. I thought, are you going to kill him when you come? Is he going to die today? We're all going to find out. Stay tuned, right? And she just responded. Women, don't put up with that junk, okay? This is not a term of disrespect. It is a term of recognition. I want you to know that if Jesus would have recognized her as mother and paid that kind of attention, people would be worshiping her like the Catholic Church does today. And I want you to know that Jesus did this on purpose so that people would not elevate Mary to a place of worship. She is not divine. She is nothing but a vessel. That's all she is, a vessel by which the Holy Spirit flowed through. Just like you are a vessel today. You are a vessel that the Holy Spirit wants to flow through. Mary is a vessel, and yes, a great vessel, and a wonderful thing. She's a wonderful vessel. She's obviously worthy because Jesus, the Lord, forsook every other woman and chose her. Have you ever thought about that? He actually forsook queens, princesses. He forsook palaces. He forsook the creme de la creme, the top notch. He forsook the riches. He forsook it all. And he went and found a little girl that would say yes. Mary, he called her woman because being, it was a term where everyone would realize that Jesus may have come out of her womb, but he was not from her. I want you to know that. Jesus came out of the womb of Mary, but she's just a vessel. Jesus was holy. He was holy. 100% man. 100% God. He is holy. So many mistreat their parents today. They treat them with disrespect. I want you to know, Christian, it should not be in your family. It should not be in your family. Well, that my parents wronged me. They hurt me. They ridiculed me. They did evil things to me. I understand that. But there is a blessing and a promise that comes with the obedience to His Word. The Bible says that that children are to obey their parents and that they would be blessed with what? Long life. I want you to know something. Even though your parents have wronged you in any way, maybe they might have hurt you, you can still choose to forgive them. You can still choose to be respectful. You can still choose to be a good representative of Jesus Christ. Here on the cross, Jesus is a representative of His family, and He says to His mother, "Woman, behold your son. Woman, behold your son." He says to John, "Son, behold your mother." Even on the cross, He never neglected His role as her son. He didn't neglect His role, His earthly role. Fathers and mothers, spiritual leaders, let these final words of Jesus affect you. That your earthly roles not be forsaken. Your spiritual earthly roles not be forsaken. I want you to know something. You can go work until you're... And make all the money in the world. That child does not need you to make all the money in the world. That child needs you. That child needs you. It's not about the money. It's not about the finances. Listen, you can be broke and be happy. Amen. There's a lot of people in this house, they got a smile on their face and they're broke this week. See, there's one. And the whole church erupts in praise, right? It's okay to not have money. It's not okay to not have your children. Those are the blessings. They are the inheritance of the Lord. Listen, Jesus wouldn't forsake His mother on the cross. How much more should we love our family? Love our family. Love our fathers. Love our mothers. And respect them. When Jesus uttered these words from the cross, he commits His mother to a disciple. And you can't help, it begs the question, why not His brother? See, Jesus has half-brothers. Why not His half-brothers? I mean, there's James, Jonas. He's got half-brothers. And theologians and teachers, including, I'm not one of those, but including myself, they teach this, that the reason being is because the brothers of Jesus were not technically believers until after the resurrection. And I want you to know, all His brothers were in the book of Acts chapter 2. They were all there and filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. They became believers after the resurrection, but it took the resurrection to bring a convincing to their own hearts. Could you imagine growing up with a perfect child? Oh, there's Jesus, Mr. Goody Tissues. He's never going to lie. He might have held some animosity for a while. But they weren't believers until the end. And also, they lived in a different town, which they were not there when Jesus died. But He commits Mary to a disciple. And you know, this tells us, this is so wonderful. It speaks to us about how close the church family becomes. I want you to know something, that I have a blood family. They're my blood. But I want you to know something. A lot of you are a lot closer than my blood. Some of you are way closer than some of my blood. Because the church family becomes, we're not linked by biological blood, but we are linked by the blood of Christ. And through that link, I have a bigger family, a greater family, a stronger family. And it's not just in this church. It's in the Assembly of God Church in Kingman, Arizona. It's in the Four Square Church in Kingman, Arizona. It's in all the churches that proclaim Him as Savior and Lord. It's in all the world that proclaim Him as Savior. My family is huge. Huge. When Jesus said to John, "This is your mother," it's like the church. When I'm falling apart, you know, I don't call my blood all the time. I usually call the church family. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, there are times where there have been roles that have been forsaken in people's lives, such as fathers who abandoned their children. And guess who took that role? It was a church person that took the role of father.
There you go.
That's important. There were mothers who became mothers of children who they never bore, but in the church they took them on to be their own. They discipled them, they trained them, they taught them. And those children call them mother to this day. Nothing wrong with that. When John gets the commission to take Mary as his son, John gladly receives it. And the Bible said that he took her into his home from that day. Matter of fact, if you go to Ephesus, you can go to John's home where they supposed John lived, and that's where Mary stayed with John. She ended up passing away 11 years after the crucifixion of Jesus. But from the moment that Jesus died, she was John's mother. I want you to know, this is my last thought and then I'm done. This statement shows the humanity of Jesus. Jesus felt every blow. In the Gospel of John, John does wonderful work at making sure we understand that Jesus was human. Matter of fact, it's his number one goal. If you read the gospel, his goal is to display that Jesus was with God from the beginning, and that Jesus was God in the beginning, and that Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us. He says in John, 1 John, he says, "I touched him, I handled him, I felt him. He is real." The humanity of Christ on the cross is when you think about all he suffered and all that he went through and all that he felt, if you fathom it, it'll sicken your heart. It'll give you a new respect for the Savior. When they drove the nails into his hand, he wasn't desensitized. He wasn't numb. He felt that. He was human. He felt it. When they punched him in the face and they said, "Prophesy unto us who hit you," he felt every moment of it. When they plucked out his beard, he felt it. He knew what it felt like. When they rejected him, his emotions hurt like every human being's emotions hurt. When they mocked him, he felt rejected. He felt the mockery and the rejection. He was human. He felt it. John wants you to know that on the cross, when he says mother, he is recognizing that he is a human. And he's leaving behind someone who loves him like a son. It expresses the humanity of Christ. Jesus said, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother."